Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Hello everyone, my name is Tony. We're going to be doing a panel here tonight. I'm going to introduce our panelists in just a minute. But this month, you know, we've been talking about home to home from the book of Acts. And one of the hallmarks of the book of Acts is that they saw miracles. They saw signs and wonders. They saw the supernatural. It was a part of their normal lives. And we want to talk about that tonight. We've got some incredible stories that you're going to hear about in a moment, how people saw breakthrough, how they held on, how they saw God's faithfulness in their life. And I'm sure many of you watching tonight are going to be able to relate to that in a real practical, down-to-earth way. So let me just introduce our panelists tonight. On my far left, we have Beck Wiggins. She's our youth and young adults pastor. We have on my immediate left, Pastor Andrew McGruther. He's our senior minister. Moi, Tony. On my right, we have Ann Sillers, our kids and adults pastor. And on my far right, Alex Shafarius, the amazing young adults leader and one and only song leader tonight, who did a phenomenal job. So it was just amazing. So we want to talk about miracles. We want to talk about faith tonight and how people found their own journey and how they did that as they went through. Some of them were quick miracles. Others were like drawn out over a period of time. So I'm praying we're just going to be able to draw from that as people share their heart and their experiences. So maybe, Beck, I might throw over to you first because you've got an interesting one. Yours was more about probably direction and how God really stepped in there. So maybe just you kick us off and share about what happened for you.
Yeah, so I've been following Jesus for over 20 years, and during that time I have seen many miracles. Some have been instant. I've experienced the healing power of God in an instant moment. I've experienced miracles of provision. But I've also discovered that miracles aren't always something that happen in one moment. They can also be a journey. And I guess one story that comes to mind is finding my direction in my career as a teacher, a job that I absolutely love and feel a sense of purpose in. But for many years after I finished my undergrad course at uni, I studied journalism. I felt really lost because I discovered while I was studying I didn't see a future actually in that industry. And I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. And so it was a couple of years of just working a job that I didn't feel particularly inspired by. It was just to get money and just praying and asking God, you know, give me clarity, give me direction for what I'm going to do as a career. I want to be able to influence people for good. I want to have a sense of satisfaction in my career. But right now I don't have that. I need to hear from you. And so that was years of praying and asking God. And I had the beginning of breakthrough at a church conference. I was sitting in a session and, it was just so out of the blue. I felt God speak to me and say teaching. And it had absolutely nothing to do with what the speaker was talking about, but it was just so strong. And I began to see this picture of a career where I could help others, where I'd have a sense of purpose, where I could develop skills that would actually add value to the house of God as well, which was really important to me. And so I was like, yes, awesome. I've heard from God. I'm going to go out and apply today. So pretty soon after that conference, I went out and applied for uni to go back to study. And guess what? I didn't get in. I was so devastated. It was such a huge blow. And if you know a little bit about me, like I did really well at school academically. And there was a lot of my self-worth that came from that as well and being smart. So to not get into the uni course that I wanted to get into, I was like, what is this, God? I did what you said to do and what's going on? So felt quite lost after that, but also confident that I had heard from God, that it wasn't a mistake, and I just needed to wait. But I got to a point where I did get quite impatient and I did give God an ultimatum. I don't know how biblical that is, but I did say, God, like, I've got this 2-week period where I'm not working, I'm on holidays right now, I'm seeking you, and I need you to come through. Like, I need an answer, like, now. And God in his goodness actually came through in that ultimatum that I gave him. And I think the next day I got a text message from someone here at church who is a teacher and said, hey, I heard you want to get into teaching. Our school has a position. Maybe you should go for the job. Went for it, got this job, got a whole like year's worth of experience in the classroom, which only confirmed again that I love being with kids. I love teaching. And I went back, applied again, got in, did really well in my course, got a job before I had even graduated. And, yeah, I look back now and I go, God is good. Like, he worked that out in the perfect timing. Yeah. I think if I got into my course straight away, I probably would have lacked confidence standing up in front of the classroom. But I came into my degree having a lot more experience, having an edge. And, yeah, like I just see God's hand in that. But it was a journey. It was years of trying to find out what's the right path. Wow. But he led me there.
Such a great story, Beck. And, look, thank you for sharing. It's something that really grabbed me when you're just talking about when you went for uni and you didn't get in. And sometimes there's what I call a mess in the miracle. There is some of that you think it's going to go great and you turn this way and then that door shuts. What was it like when you sort of got that door shut in your face? Was it a, oh, God, have I missed it? Or what was the internal dialogue that took place for you in that moment?
Yeah, like I said, it was a real blow to my self-esteem because I'd been telling people as soon as I'd heard from God, like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm like, guys, I'm going to be a teacher. I'm applying. I told lots of people, even at church. And then to have that no was like, oh, what now? But like I said, God really spoke to me so clearly at that moment, like prior about teaching, that actually gave me confidence to go, no, I didn't mess up there. I heard from God. It's just a no, not now. Wow. I don't know what's going to happen, but yeah. I know that he's still in this.
Wow. So that was almost like that word of God was your anchor that anchored you in
totally.
That season.
Totally.
Wow. And you've got an amazing story, but a little bit different. But could I get you to maybe share it? And then what was that word or that thing that anchored you during the process for me?
Yeah, totally. I don't think I've ever known God go in a straight line yet and never by my plans, not once. When Paul and I got married, the deal was I did not like kids. I did not want kids. Kids were not on an option. And God in his goodness undid a whole load of stuff from my past, which is where that position had come from, and brought me to a place where now we wanted kids. Now, bear in mind, that was a good few years to undo all of that. So now you get to the place where you're like, God, now I really want kids. We really want kids. He's a great dad. And then I find out that things don't go to plan. And then that we possibly can't have kids. Can't have kids. God, are you having a laugh? That hurts. And I remember we sat with our pastors. We were back in a church in the UK then. And I remember just crying, going, I have done this journey, surely, a bit like you, Beck, for this destination. I don't understand, God, where are you in this? And bless them, they were so remarkable. And what they said to me was, fill your house with everybody else's kids. And that's what we did. Paul was already doing kids ministry. He'd done that for years. But for me, that was a real new thing. So we filled our home with kids. We did movie nights. We did restaurants. We did all kinds of fun stuff as a declaration of what
amazing.
We believed God wanted to do.
Wow.
And I always think there's a touch point. Same as when we went for our house, we bought Toby's loft bed as a declaration of the house we believed he had for us.
Right.
So there's that kind of thing that goes, yet I see and I'm honest about what I am seeing in the medical side, but here's the declaration. There was a point where after that prayer time with the pastors, I just said, can I stay at church? And we had this huge kind of rough cross. And for me, the story of Hannah in the Bible became very real. And I think the Old Testament is there for us to grab a hold of, like Riley spoke about Jericho today. Grab a hold of some of those things and go, God, where are you? And I wrestled with God that night.
Wow.
I wrestled until I laid it down. And then we saw the miracle, and our pastors came back from this incredible cruise. They prayed for us. I hit the deck, and Paul just turned to me and went, something's changed.
Mm.
Within 1 month, yeah. I found I was pregnant.
Wow.
And we then had the incredible privilege to have a son and to put him in the arms of someone who also could not have a child, and within 1 year, they then
That's
had their
amazing,
own.
Yeah. That's amazing, yeah. That's amazing. That idea about in the wait and being able to hold on. So was there often we get either a word like back from the Lord or maybe a passage of scripture. What was your anchor in that time? So feeling your house was probably a way to anchor you,
yeah,
and declare that. Was there any, is there a particular word that you held on to?
Yeah, very much so. And I think walking what Hannah walked. Mm. Everyone's journey is different, but we're given those examples in the Bible to truly get to grips with what God has spoken to them, the path that they have blazed before us, and we then hold on because they held on.
That's awesome. And they're our example, aren't they?
Totally.
In that space. Pastor Andrew, you've got a slightly different story. And yours was probably a little bit of a quick turnaround, which we love to hear the instant breakthrough and the 24-hour response. We've had a couple of miracles where we've held on and anchored ourselves, but maybe just share your story and what that was like for you.
Yeah. Look, it is a good story because it was a reasonably quick turnaround, but it had a really good lesson for me in it because I was in my early 20s and, probably like Beck. Like I was just really trying to work out what God's purpose and call for my life was, and God was, I call it this way, I had a prophetic word when I was in my early 20s and it came was God would weave his plan into your life.
Yeah, wow.
And I wouldn't have to worry about it. And so I just set that, and it was very clear to me that God was leading me to work with young people and kids, and that was a direction. And so I'd set my heart, this was an interesting thing, in my early 20s I'd started to be a teacher. And so I had this thing, I wanted to be a school principal by the time I was 30. That was my goal and my vision. And then, through that, I started working with youth here. And then out of sort of the blue with that, I never thought I would even think about like pastoral ministry and church in that way. But God started opening that door up. And anyway, cut a long story short, our pastors at the time, Pastor Gordon and Joe, said, we'd love you to come and work for one day a week at the church. And I just started a year where I was teaching a year 7 class, and I was like, I really need to pray about this and try to work out where God's in it. And anyway, I went through that time and I'm like, okay, I really felt this strong sense that God's saying, this is the yes, you need to go for it. Sought counsel, got others to pray, did all the things you should do in that decision. And then, but you know what? And I've done this many times after that. I prayed about it. I felt like Beck and others had shared, I had a word from God that this was going to work out. But then as I prayed, subconsciously, I was telling God, this is how you should work it out. I don't know if you've ever done that. It's like, here's what I'm praying about. And Lord, this is the best way for you to work that out. And I think God laughs at those moments because, as I went to this one day a week job, I thought I'd talk to my principal, and then, that my principal will then be really open about this idea. Let me drop back a day a week. It'll be sweet. I'll keep my class. Off I go. I can work a day a week. And then, this meeting went pear-shaped completely as I began to share my heart to this guy. And I felt, this is where my calling is. He just like, you've got to choose today in the office.
Wow.
Either it's that or it's this job. Tell me now.
Wow, that's crazy.
And it was a moment I was like, well, it's that. It's the pastoral ministry. And he says, okay, well, 2 weeks and you'll finish up in your job. I walked out of the office and I was gutted. I mean, I bought a house, we had a mortgage to pay, all this sort of stuff. I'm walking out of a full-time job for a one-day-a-week job at church. Like, it was like, what am I doing? I walked out of the car like, this is crazy. What have you just done? You know, God, where are you in all this? And I was driving because I taught it on the south side. I had a long drive home. And so I got in the car and I hit the panic button. I didn't sort of pray too quick. I hit the panic button. I rang up the education department, and I sort of said, is anyone looking for a job? And she's like, no, too late. There's no job. So I said, oh, okay. And so, yeah, started praying on the car trip home. I remember driving across the gateway, and I was like, God, you know, you need to come through here. I need work. I pray, God, give me a school that's close to church, because I was on the south side. I'd really love that. And it needs to be 4 days a week. So I'll give that to you. And then, yeah, I remember it. I was sharing this morning in the service. I remember so clearly. Gateway, come across two more shopping centres on my right. The phone rings, and it's the principal of Bald Hill State School up the road saying, I've just got an email through. Just so happens this staff member's decided to go on leave. Would you like to come and take a job 4 days a week, and you can start in a week's time?
Wow.
And, I don't know if you had those moments. I hung up the phone, and I literally was just in awe at how good God is.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I've just found in life, you know, that many of the miracles, there's so many miracles you can talk about, like, really, when you see with God. But so many times for me, it's been around, you know, the scripture, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you. And I'm not saying going out and making crazy decisions is the way to go. And I wasn't like that. But it was just a priority of my life to say, God, I'm putting you first and your call, and I'm going to step out and walk that journey out, and just finding that God takes care of the everything else, and just seeing the goodness of God.
Wow, that's amazing. Can I ask you, Pastor Andrew, when we get news like that, where in a moment something changes and you get what you thought was going to be good news and it's bad news, or you think it's going to go this way and that way, and our hearts can be gripped like with fear in that moment. Just talking out of that experience, what would your advice be to people that might get that unexpected shock that I didn't, the doctor's report or whatever it may be? What should their default be in that moment, like it was for you? How should they respond?
Yeah. Look, I think fear and panic is very natural, a human response. But I think it's what you do after that that really determines it. I mean, because that's the journey. And you know, it says about Abraham that he left Haran, the place that he'd lived for half of his life, and he walked out this journey of faith. It says not knowing exactly where he was going. Yeah. So he was heading in a direction that he knew God was leading him in. He had a promise in his heart. He had something that was bigger than the circumstances that he saw. And he knows, if I just keep following Christ, if I just keep following God in this direction, then God's going to take care of the steps. But knowing that in those steps along the way, I love how Ann put it, it's never a straight line.
Yeah.
And nor was Abraham's path. It was that way and this way and all these sorts of things along the way. That's the journey of faith. And I think one of the scriptures that's helped me the most along the way in walking that out, while I love that story of my car trip and getting the, you know, the 1 hour turnaround, that is the exception, not the rule. But I love to hold on to it in that moment. But there's a scripture which says we should imitate those who by faith and patience obtain the promises of God.
Yeah, wow.
I think we get the faith bit. I don't think any of us like that word patience.
Yeah.
But it's deliberately there in scripture. Like I think everyone, you know, has shared, is that it's faith and trusting in God, and it's patience, because the timing's not up to me, the timing's up to Him.
Yeah.
And so walking that out.
That's great advice. I think you can see a theme here coming across just around what's your anchor, what's that word from God, what's that thing that's going to hold you true. Alex, last but not least, can you maybe share what your faith and patience story has been for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Mine is complete opposite, probably the biggest miracle I've experienced, not short. It was probably over 5 years, sort of talked to. So it resulted in me and my wife getting a brand new home, which is awesome. But so 5 years ago, we were newly married, had good amount of debt, trying to figure all that kind of stuff out. And I remember we were at a conference or something of the sorts, and they were talking about doing an offering, and we just felt like we should give something, just to give everything over to God, kind of centering ourselves. God, we trust you with this process. And my wife was definitely a lot more faithful than me, because she's like, what do you think? And I said, no, $50, $100, sure. And she goes, I think we should give everything. And I went, oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, sure. But we did it. So we gave everything we had. We left with, I think, $20 to our name or something like that. Fast forward a year, we'd paid off all our debt. We'd saved up for a house deposit. It was amazing. And then I was standing on this stage, I think it was worship leading, one Sunday night, and randomly, and in that year as well, we traveled to Europe, which was awesome. Randomly, God put the word London in my head, and it was like a thumping. I couldn't shake it. I've never felt God talk to me that way. And then so there had been a recent church plant gone from our church over to London, and we just really felt God was calling us to not buy a house. We had started looking and everything, but to drop everything and go to London. And so we spoke to our pastors and did all the right things. And we expected, you know, some advice around maybe wait a little bit, see if you still feel that way. I remember the advice we got was, well, what's stopping you? And we just went, okay, cool. So I think in 2 months we packed up our whole life and moved overseas. But my wife made a, like Beck said, a deal with God, being like, we're going to do this. And we looked at the numbers of how living was like in London, and it wasn't very favourable. But so Geraldine made this deal. We'll go to London, but we're not going to touch our house deposit. We're going to leave that in a bank account in Australia. And then we moved to London. We did 2 years over there helping the church. And by the grace of God, we came back. We had not touched our house deposit, which was amazing. Yeah. And we really felt, we went over to London with quite a purpose. 2 years, we're going to help the church. Coming back, we didn't really have too much of a purpose. We'll kind of, that whole journey was about trusting God in every single step of what we're doing. So we just really felt God going, okay, don't rush into anything. Take some time, rent something for a year, see where you want to be planted in Brisbane. We're like, yeah, cool. And Geraldine had run into some health complications over in the UK, and they kind of had really come to a peak about June last year. So that's after 6 months from moving back. And so essentially she was working 2-3 days at the most, just from a physical capability, from fatigue and everything like that. Yeah. And we found out she got diagnosed with endometriosis, and which was good to have an answer. But to go on the public system, I think it was about a 3-4 year wait potentially to get a surgery for it. Or the option was we could pay for it privately and get it sorted. And we're like, oh, okay. Found out how much it was. And we just really trusted God with it and felt like the pay for surgery was the right thing. But that we had to use, it was half of our house deposit to pay for the surgery. And I remember that was really gut-wrenching to us, because we were like, God, you promised. You took us on this crazy journey. Your promise was we would not touch this house deposit. Yeah. And I remember being really angry for a little bit of time, maybe a little bit more than I should have been, and wrestled with God around this, being like, what are you doing? And that was in June. And I think in September, at our Connect group in our apartment, every week we like to pray whatever we're talking about, pray for people we're believing for, and also pray for physical needs in the group. And did our round and got to Geraldine, and people were like, oh, what do you want prayer for? And she goes, oh, I'm believing I'm going to have a house by Christmas. I was like, okay. So 3 months ago, we lost half our house deposit. 2 months' time, you want to buy a house? Yeah. Sure, let's go for that. Cool. So she made this declaration. And so we just kind of began this journey being like, okay, God, like, you've taught us so much about how to rely on you, not to let our physical nature depict what's going on. We're going to trust you. We're going to just start process. We're going to start looking at houses, just explore it all. And I remember we started the process and just money started popping in randomly. Not anything. I think sometimes you expect these, I'm going to open my bank account and suddenly I'm going to have $15,000 there and God is going to provide for me. Or that did not happen. But I think God sometimes likes to use very natural ways to do things in your life. And we kind of got to the end of the year and we started looking at things, at properties, and just nothing was opening up. And I I was really angry with God and really wrestling with him on this. And God had this really, just the moment I was driving my car and he goes, why are you so angry? You said you were going to move back to Brisbane and wait a year before you even looked at a house. And he's like, a year is 1 month away. And I went, all right then, that's cool. You've humbled me. So we just went, okay, cool. We're going to kind of take our strength pushing that one and just kind of just do what we do. And things came together and literally we signed a contract on a house. I think it went on the 24th of December or something like that. It was something crazy.
Wow.
It was 20 days earlier. It's 5th of December. Okay. My wife is very particular about dates. And we figured out it was actually 3 years to the date since we moved to London that we signed a contract on the house.
Yeah. Amazing.
And we're so in awe of what God's done. But I think that moment, especially towards the end when God was like, why are you hurrying this? I think sometimes we can so believe for a miracle. And like Pastor Andrew said, we're so expecting God to do it a certain way. Yeah. And we're wanting him to be it quick. We can actually completely miss the journey God wants to take us on through that.
Yeah,
and
amazing.
Like, I just think over the 5 years, we could have bought a house at the end of that first year. And I'm sure God would have made it happen.
Yeah.
But he had other ideas. And so just kind of trusting God and letting him drive where our life goes. looks completely different 5 years later. So
that's amazing, yeah. Alex. What a story. And often I think there's an element of faith where we believe God for a miracle, but there's another gear, and that's the gear of trust, where in the wait, there's got to be a trust when you're believing for that miracle. And both of you said that sometimes there's a wrestle with God. And I think God's into the wrestle. I think he's happy for us to wrestle, because in the wrestle, I think he does a miracle in us. I think there's a transformation in us as well in that process. And I think that's such an important thing for everyone. Maybe tonight you're looking for a miracle yourself. And I think the theme that really came out of tonight is, I heard from God, I heard a word, I got encouragement, and that became the anchor for me. And I think that's one of the key takeaways for all of us, is the wrestle's good, the faith is good, but there's a patience there, and that you use God's word and the promises of God to see you through that way. Even though we love the instant miracle, I think that's probably my takeaway from tonight as well.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.